We're in Parables Redux, and I do the recordings every Monday morning. So I take the recording from here, I edit it a little bit, and put it onto the podcast. And the last few weeks I've done that, they've been about 45 minutes long. People, tell me if I'm talking for 45 minutes. Holy moly, that's too long. I got tired of hearing my own self on the podcast. Not that I listened to the entire thing, but 45 minutes. And there were some videos I even chopped out. So in thinking about it this week, I looked up the shortest parable I could find. Because I just wanted it to be short and sweet and simple. Ryan, just get to the point. My gosh. Sometimes it's good to go long. Sometimes I'm just not feeling it. So I looked up the shortest parable. That didn't work out because sometimes the shortest parable needs the most explanation, or in my own head, I was like, what is this? So then I looked up a semi-medium longish short parable, and I loved it. And I haven't always loved this story. So I thought I would just, you know, get the stool out, kind of chill a little bit, relax, go short and sweet. And we'll start by reading it and then talk about a few things and be done. So don't worry, we're not going late this morning. You can actually hang out and talk to some people. Are we ready, Jeff? I don't know why this is so hard. I always forget which button it is, which seems like it should really be simple. I was pressing that one. Mark, I recognize your voice. Your sarcasm. Okay, it's kind of long. It's Matthew 25, if you want to pull out your Bibles and read along. I'm just going to read it, and then we'll talk about it. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See? Here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Right? Pretty good, huh? So what the heck does it mean? I mean, I'll give you possibly one interpretation. Here's a few things. Again, this is Jesus saying, again, this is like the kingdom of heaven. And this is always really important because so many of us who've been programmed a certain way or heard certain things go immediately to heaven and hell. This is a story about heaven and hell. It's not implicit that this is a story about heaven and hell at all. I don't think it is a story about heaven and hell. I think it's a story about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And as we talked about last week, the kingdom of God is this thing that's in our midst, within us. You can't say it's here or there. It's coming, but it's also here. You can't see it, but it can be observed. There are people who know the secrets to it, so there are secrets to it. There are people who enter it, but there are people who won't. So it's this mysterious thing here now. Maybe just a way of living. And Jesus says again, the kingdom of heaven is like this story. One of the first things we go to in these kinds of stories are these talents or abilities or bags of gold. Sometimes this is called the parable of the talents. And one of the things we go there with is, oh man, what does that mean? What is the 10 bags of gold? What is the 2 bags, the 1? Is it money? Is it success? Is it abilities? Is it talents? Is it privilege? Is it what? And we could go through a whole list of things. It could be where you're born. Are you born in Rwanda? Are you born in the United States? Are you born in Sweden? And which one of those is the better? Is it better to be born in Rwanda? Maybe the United States is one bag. I don't know. We can go through everything that means. We could go through just pure, are you born as Leonard, who we've talked about many times around here, Leonard, who was beaten as a child, abused, never knew the love of his parents. Always thought that if you love someone, that means that you hurt someone. So when he loved his girlfriend, he hurt her and eventually killed her and her child. You say, well, maybe Leonard is the type of person who has one bag of gold. Maybe I'm kind of in the middle there with 2, and maybe there's Jerry Jones or Richard Branson. They have more. I mean, we can go on and on about all of these. We have disabilities in our world. We have people who are privileged and who are not. We have people who are born in certain areas and who are not. But at the end of the day, I think we all know life isn't fair, right? I mean, it's just not. And it's not, you don't earn your place. You're born into a place, and some people get lucky and some people are not. And so rather than get maybe distracted by this, and I think it can put on this pressure for many of us of, man, how many bags of gold do I have? Am I making enough more? Oh man, what am I? I've got to do more. This is where a lot of us go to. I've got to do more. I've got to produce more. This story doesn't really even tell you how to produce more, which is a kind of a lame story. You better produce more. I'm not going to tell you how, but you better do more. Because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. And so we feel this cycle of, I got to do more. So I don't think that's what this story is about at all. And I think there's this section in the story that really stands out when you read this story, and it's really, really powerful. But like life, we all get distracted by abilities and success and money and bags of gold and who has more and how many do I have and how am I producing more and produce, produce, produce. But there's this other section here, which I have zoomed in and highlighted for you. These are 3 interactions with the master. So the first one says, Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. The second one says, Master, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. The third one says, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Which one of these is not like the others? Remember that little Sesame Street, I believe? Which one of these is not like the others? Some really interesting things when you start looking at it. All of them say master. So all of them get that there is something bigger than us in this world. God, the divine, the universe. I honestly put whatever label you want. They're all talking to something greater than them that's more powerful, maybe even in charge in some way. So they all get that, master. 2 of them say, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. So, Master, you entrusted me with something, and I have gained more. What's the third one say? I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Very different way of interacting with God. And I hear the third one very often. I think you do too. I even say it sometimes. It's really hard for us to get a divine, a God that says, here, this is yours. I entrust this to you. There's ownership of it. There's responsibility of it. There's inspiration of it. It's mine. And you just read these first two, and it's this more lighthearted interaction. Oh, you entrusted me with this. Look what I've done. Oh, I knew. You're a hard man. This is yours. Look, I've saved it. I'm going to give it back to you. Very different interactions with God. And I would say that one of them leads to, I was afraid. The other two never say they were afraid. Why was the third one afraid? Well, I know that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I know how this works. You just take. You go around this universe and you take. And you harvest. And sometimes you did the work, sometimes you didn't, sometimes you hired it, sometimes you didn't. But I know how you work. This is yours, and I'm just saving it to give back to you. And when I live in that kind of a world with God, it leads to fear. And I'll just say this. Whatever these things are, which let's just call life. Maybe sometimes we're living in a 5 bags of gold day. Sometimes it's a 2 bag of gold day. Sometimes it's a 1 bag of gold day. But it's interesting, the one who had the least to lose was the most afraid. And the one who is afraid doesn't produce anything. And this is why we talk so often about fear around this place and have for years. Because fear forces you to bury whatever you have into the ground and wait for some day when God will return and you can give it back to God. And you do nothing. Fear paralyzes you. And you can talk about this in every way. Art, creativity, inspiration, fear. Do you create it and put it out there in the world? Not if you're afraid. Business. Do you start that thing and put it out so people can see it? Well, not if you're afraid. Spiritually, theologically. I'm going for it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go here. I'm going to explore here. I'm going to have these doubts. I'm going to have these frustrations. I'm going to run down this road. I'm going to insist on a better experience with God and experience with life, and I'm going to go serve, and I'm going to go give, and I'm going to be generous and radical, not if you're afraid. And it's really crazy. I mean, this third guy, this is a lot of the God still talked about in America. Maybe not here at Branches, but maybe some of you, maybe family, friends. It's this God we're afraid of. And this God, it's a hard God. This God's going to come someday and expect to get back what belongs to this God. And you just want to say, how's that working? In this story, it doesn't work well. It doesn't work well. What about this? I mean, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Whoever has will be given more. and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not equality. And I'm a huge fan. I believe in a God who is encouraging and moving and evolving this universe to equality and seeing our fellow humans as children of God, like us. And this seems completely not that. People who have, they'll be given more. People who don't, even what they don't have, will be taken from them. Wow, that's really harsh. What does that do to my view of God? I don't know, I'd say this. If you have a view of God, if this is a God that goes around the universe and takes what isn't God's and just unfair, kind of doing whatever God wants to do, and that this God is going to come back one day and expect to get what God has given you, and you are afraid, then this is where you end up. It's so ironic. You kind of get the God that you believe in. Think about that for a second. You get the God you believe in. What does that mean? I don't know. I think it means this God says, if you have me that screwed up, if you have me that messed up, if you have such a crazy, insane view of me, then you're going to go down that path. And you won't even believe in a God who can rescue you from that. So, it's pretty simple this morning. How are you interacting with the Master? Has God entrusted you with things? Do you believe in a God who entrusts you with things, with life? Money, sure. Talent, sure. Privilege, sure. All of it, with moments, with this moment, with today. It's yours. It's yours. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to live in it? With this pressure of this ominous meeting in the future where the Master is going to demand everything back. And so you cower and bury, or with this freedom of, man, I've got 5 bags of gold. I think I'm going to get 5 more. I've been meditating every day for the last couple months, and Headspace app, highly recommended. I'm finally doing it. I've been thinking about it, talking about it long enough. September 1st, I said, okay, I'm doing this. And the guy who runs Headspace is an ex-Buddhist monk. And in a meditation on Thursday, maybe it was, he talked about even meditating. And when we come to meditation, we have 2 options. One is we think we have to do so much. We're not doing enough. We didn't meditate correctly. We've got to do more. We've got to work harder. And the other one is not doing anything and just waiting for one day to be compassionate and loving and graceful and forgiving person. And so we kind of go through life like this. I've got to do more. I've got to work harder. Shame, stress, anxiety, despair, God's coming, oh crap, work, 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 exhaustion, exhaustion, exhaustion. Or center of the universe, waiting one day, I'm going to be the most compassionate, generous, forgiving, loving, merciful person on the planet. Someday it's just going to But there's this middle ground where we work really hard knowing that it's there and letting go in the process. And it's really crazy sometimes when the Bible says exactly what Buddhism says. or not that crazy. But this story is saying the same thing. Two of these servants, they just got it. They just got it. Yeah, this master's given me things. They're here. I've got 5 bags of gold. No stress. No pressure. I know the master. I know the master loves me. I know the master wants me to share in the master's happiness. What a great line. This is my life. What am I going to do with it? I want to do more. I want to make this produce something more. And then there's this third one who's just shame-riddled. Already, before the thing even starts. Cowering, afraid, burying it, waiting every day. Oh, man. Probably guarding it. I hope no one takes this. Wow. And what was this guy thinking? Is he really thinking, master's going to be so proud of me? Man, I can't wait for him to come back. I'm going to get the shovel out. Look what I got for you. I got your bag of gold. And then he's watching his fellow friends here. Hey, yeah, thanks for giving me 5. I got 5 more. Oh, great. Thanks for giving me 2. I got 2 more. And he's like, oh, boy. Crap. Well, I went with the afraid route, God. I went everything is yours and nothing's mine. I'm just kind of a human wretch. I went with just kind of waiting to die. I went with the just kind of burying everything I have because I'm so afraid that I might lose it or might risk something or someone might make fun of me or I might be called a heretic or I might lose my faith or I might say the wrong thing or read the wrong book or have the wrong interpretation of the Bible or go to a church where they don't have the right doctrine on their website. So what I did was I just buried it all in the sand. And I knew when you came back, you'd be so happy. One of them, you wicked, lazy servant. Why'd you think of me in that way? Are you kidding? Let's close our eyes. Think for a second about God. How do you interact with the master? When you even think about approaching the master, are you running with your arms wide open for an embrace? Are you a little nervous? Are you smiling and laughing and filled with joy? Or are you groveling on the ground, sweating it out, hoping he, she, it doesn't get too mad? Do you believe in a God who trusts you? Do you believe in a God who trusts you? Do you believe in a God who trusts you with the people around you, with creation, with life, with this universe, with pain, with injustice, with oppression, with joy, with celebration? If God were here right now, hint, God is. Where are you at? Thanks for the trust, God. Look what I've done. I'm going crazy. I've doubled this. This is awesome. Give me more. Not because I'm greedy, because I can't get enough. Let's share in some happiness. Let's share in some abundance. Or are you getting out a shovel? Are you shaking? Are you hoping it's still there, that one little bag of gold? Dreading if it's not? God, inspire us, move in us. These bad views of you are so toxic and poisonous and destructive that it's terrifying. Rid everyone in this room of a toxic view of you. We don't want to be the one afraid. We want to be the one in love with what we've been entrusted with. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here. Have an awesome week. Go in grace and peace.